Sechta Salah is Perek Tezvav Mishnah Ches. Now, the beginning of the Mishnah is going to discuss the olden burial chambers that were used in the times of the Mishnayos. What they would do is they would dig a tremendous underground area. And in the middle of this area would be a courtyard, an underground courtyard, that would lead off to smaller chambers. Inside those smaller chambers, they were separate rooms with a mini hallway. Those separate chambers, they would bury multiple people in each chamber. But in the main courtyard area that led off to the separate chambers, in the actual courtyard area, there was no one buried. It was just like a central area that would lead off to smaller chambers where people would be buried. So the Mishnah wants to know, what's the halacha of someone who's standing in this courtyard, in this underground courtyard? So the Mishnah says, Chatzar HaKever, this courtyard of the catacomb, of the underground burial chambers, Ha'aymed B'soich, if someone's standing in it, Tari is going to be Tar Achiye Ba'arba Amos, as long as it has Dalet Amos. Kedivrei Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai. Sazakt Beis Shammai. If this courtyard has Dalet Amos, it's considered a completely separate area from the burial chambers that lead away from it. And therefore, if someone's standing in it, he's going to be completely tar. Even if he himself is within Dalet Amos of a mace, that's within one of those burial chambers, but because this courtyard itself has Dalet Amos, it's considered a separate area, and he's going to be tahar. However, if it's less than Dalet Amos, then it's not considered a separate area, and it's considered part of the burial chambers, and it's like you're standing within a burial chamber itself, and you're going to be tamei. Beis Hillel says you don't even need Dalet Amos. Arba Tfachim, four Tfachim is enough to be considered a separate area from the burial chamber. Now, the second part of the Mishnah is going to change the subject, and it's going to talk about the halacha of Goyla. Now, we learned this halacha back in Perek Beis. A Goyla is a covering of a grave. And we learned in Perek Beis that a Goyla transfers Toma by touching it or via Oihel. And even according to one Tana, even if it's carried, it also transfers Toma. But the only part of the item that uses a Goyla, only the part that's actually covering the grave, is going to be considered Tame. So if you have an item that extends beyond the grave, the part that extends beyond the grave is not necessarily going to have the same halacha with regards to Tama. So let's see the Mishnah. Kaira Shasa Gailo Akever. If you used a beam, a very long beam, was used as the covering for a grave. Now, you didn't need the entire beam. It was a very long beam. So only part of the beam actually covers the grave. The rest of it extends beyond the kever. So what's the halacha if you touch the other part of the beam that's not touching the grave? So the Mishnah says, Bein Oimedes Bein Muta Al Tzida. It doesn't matter whether it's standing upright, meaning whether it's vertical, or lying on the side horizontally. Ein Tameh, the beam does not transfer Tumah to someone that touches it, El Keneged HaPesach, except for the part that is actually opposite the grave. The remainder of it, if you touch it part beyond the part that covers the grave, you're going to be tar. Also, Roisha Gola LaKever. If one end of the beam was used as a goyla for the kever, and then it was obviously a very long beam. Ein tamei ela ad arba tfachim. So only dalet tfachim of that beam, from the end of the beam up to dalet tfachim, is going to be considered tamei. Ubisman shu asid lagun, provided that you were going to chop off the rest of the beam. So we're talking about here where you place the beam upright like a tree on top of a grave. So it's a very large beam, stretching up from the kever all the way up a number of feet. So the person intends to chop off, obviously, the upper part of this beam. He's not going to leave it standing up like a tree, and leave just the lower end of it covering the grave. So the Mishnah says that if you would leave it that way, the entire beam would be considered a gailu. But since you're going to cut off the top part of it, so even though the entire part is technically covering the grave, but the only part that's going to actually become Tameh is within Dalet Tfachim of the grave. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kula Chibur, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's all considered one long unit, and even though you intend to shorten it, but right now, the fact that the entire beam is standing up in one attached piece, it's going to be considered a Goyla, the entire piece, until you actually cut it. Now we move on to Mishnah Tes, which continues discussing the halachas of a goylel. Chavish shehimaleya mashkim tayrim. You have a barrel, an earthenware barrel that's full of tahar liquid. Umukefes summit puzzle, but it's sealed with a firm seal. So if you have an earthenware keli that's tightly sealed with a summit puzzle, you can't be metame the barrel or the contents of the barrel because it's tightly sealed. That prevents tumah from penetrating it. The only way to be metame it is to have tumah inside the barrel itself. So I saw a goylel akever. But you made this barrel into a covering for a grave. So the Mishnah teaches that even though the interior of the barrel remains tar, but Hanageba, someone who touches the exterior of the barrel, Tomei Tumas Sheva, is still going to become Tomei for 7 days. But Vahachavis Vamashkin Tairin, the barrel and the liquid are going to remain tar. So what happens is, you use this barrel as a goylel. So it comes out that the exterior of this barrel, which is a goylel, which is being used as a covering, is still able to transmit Tumah. And the Tumah gets transmitted either by touching it or via oil. But the interior of the barrel and the contents of the barrel are still going to remain tar. So the Mishnah is teaching a tremendous chiddush, that part of the barrel, the exterior part, is going to transmit Tumah. But the interior part and the contents of the barrel are going to remain tar. Now the Mishnah moves on to discuss an animal that was used as a goylel, and in order for an animal to be used as a goylel to transmit Tumah, it has to be tied up. So what happens if you took an animal, a living animal? So behemo shasa goylel lekever, you used a live animal as a covering for a grave, you tied it up. Hanogeh batami Tumah Sheva. So the Tanakama holds that even though it's alive, but as long as you tied it up, it's going to transmit Tumah. And if someone touches it, he's going to become Tumah for 7 days. Even though it's unusual to do, but if you did it, it's going to transmit Tumah to the person that touches it. However, Reb Meir argues and says, no. Kol sheyesh baruach chayim eina metamim mishum gailel. No. If you have an item that's alive, it's a living being, it cannot function as a gailel, cannot function as a grave, as a covering for a grave to transmit Tumah. So even though you tied it up and you're using it as a goylel, but halachically, it doesn't have the same status as a goylel, and therefore, if someone touches it, according to Reb Meir, he's not going to become tamei from Tumas Meis.